Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. The King Center has been serving the near north side of Milwaukee for over 45 years. Over time, it's been home to countless summer camps, youth programs, and community groups. The park even once featured a roller rink, outdoor theater, and sports courts and fields of all kinds. But a few months ago, with the police shooting of Sam Sharp Jr. right in front of the building, the story of the center and the neighborhood changed in an instant. A center that brought people together was now portrayed as a place to avoid at all costs. But for the people who really know this place, they know that's not the full story. Lake Effect's Jimmy Gutierrez shares this portrait of the King Center.
When I was a kid, and then this was my favorite room in the building. It's all crazy in there now, but...
Yeah, they're doing a whole bunch of renovations
in
there.
Yeah, that was Miss Ramona's room. That was the art room, and I spent so much of my time in there.
214?
Yep, that was my favorite space.
This is Symphony Swan Zawadi, and we are at the King Center on the near north side. Symphony used to come here just about every summer growing up.
And that was where I learned how to draw portraits and still lives. And I got exposure to paint and pastel and like all this stuff. And so to this day, like I still model how I draw portraits off of what I learned in Ramona's art room from here.
I don't know if we got into what you do today, but...
Yeah, so today I'm literally an artist, a practicing artist, so it makes sense. I work for a National Arts Foundation, and I've been an art teacher. I've been a community artist. It is in my blood, and I had opportunities here at the King Center to express that and explore that.
All right, so Symphony might be humble, but I'm going to speak for her, and I do not have to be. She is one of one in Milwaukee. Last year, Shepherd Express named her Milwaukeean of the Year. She's won grant funding for her art. She has started and led arts organization in the city. And she says that none of that happens without the King Center. The place Mr. Holmes pushed her to compete in track, where she eventually became a city conference champ. It's where she hooped with the boys, a place where even when she was home, she always begged to go back.
Like, can we go to the King Center? You know, you had your little summertime crushes. You had your friends, you know. And that was just, it felt like family every time we were here.
No community center is just its building. Not the good ones anyways. But the King Center, it's a part of Milwaukee's history. A part of the fabric of the story of our city, and particularly Black Milwaukee. But after Columbus police murdered Sam Sharp Jr., the center and the neighborhood have been portrayed locally and nationally as a place of homelessness, despair, and trauma. And listen, these are issues, but it's not the story. And it's not the story the people at the center would tell.
We are being remodeled. We're getting a brand new roof, getting a lot of knockouts of some walls to enlarge the rooms and eliminate some overhangs. I am Dee McCollum, the director of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center.
Dee McCollum, or just Ms. Dee, as everyone calls her, says the renovations are long overdue. She painted the whole main floor in a high-gloss white with black trim, saying that she wants it to look bright, just how she hopes people feel when they come inside.
How are you thinking about the space and community specifically and bringing people into the space?
One of the things that I do on purpose is when we have our 4th of July celebration, our Thanksgiving celebration, and our Christmas celebration, I on purpose give them the programming information for what's going on in the King Center every day. And what I've noticed over the years, what happens from that is a lot of those people have never been here before. They just come for the Christmas celebration or the Thanksgiving. But now I've given them some information about what we do the other 364 days of the year. And we now have those people funneling back into the building.
Ms. D says there are rooms to rent for events like birthday parties, corporate events, or luncheons. They also house a bunch of community partners like Fathers Making Progress and Summit, which works in youth programming. There's a new partner that'll help folks transition from foster care. There's the basketball court, which stays full, a legendary boxing gym and karate program, and a basketball literacy program soon to start, led by Milwaukee's own Mike Taylor. Yeah, the same one who put up 35 against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden.
Boy, he is quick, kicking up his heels. Taylor to the basket, left hand up and in.
But even with all the renovations happening around here, people are still coming in. And that includes to use the full circuit gym downstairs. Think Planet Fitness, but without the purple. And that's where Enrique was working out his delts and traps.
I waited until the ripe age of 60 to start bodybuilding. And I'm focusing on creating the image I have within, making it real. I just have a lot of history here. I started coming here when I was a kid. I must have been about 11 or 12. I played pool. In fact, I used to practice piano in one of the rooms. Back in the day, there was Mr. Pitts was the director, and I would come and I would do arts and crafts. And it was just, you know, this was the place to be.
If you're from Milwaukee, you might not have heard of this gym, but you probably heard of the other one here. The legendary Al Moreland's boxing gym.
Been through a lot in my life.
This is David Powell.
This has given me an outlet and given me a group or, like I said, family with the same goal. Everybody is coming from not the best situations and we're just trying to be better versions of ourselves. We help each other, we motivate each other. So, you know, those days, every day you're not motivated, but when you got like-minded people around you, they help you get back up even when it's hard for you to get yourself back up.
The gym here isn't too big. There's a ring that's got a few elementary age kids in it right now swinging wildly. There are a few heavy bags and lockers lining the room. And in the back, there's a smaller space with some free weights and treadmills. And it may look modest, but this is where some of Milwaukee's baddest champs have come from.
So I'm doing a little story on the King Center and just like what this place means to the community, to folks. Obviously you, having a boxing program here. For
you
want to
go up in the office right quick? I mean in a little area?
This is Ernie Haynes. His mirrored lens glasses say he's no nonsense. Probably why he's the center's lead boxing trainer. And it's a position he took over after the late Al Moreland's brother Tom called him after COVID lockdown.
He says, Ernie, can you carry on? And I told him it'd be my honor to carry on the Moreland legacy and to bring in the team certified legacy and, you know, my legacy as well.
Ernie has trained professional boxers. He loves training pro fighters. But his calling was to train kids, specifically kids being bullied. He's talked about this with his own son being bullied. And after a while, it was just time to teach him how to defend himself. And now this is something he does for all kids.
This is where my wealth lies. Wealth has nothing to do with the money. It has everything to do with what you leave behind, your legacy. So that's where I'm at right now.
If I were to come out for a workout, what could I expect?
You're gonna expect some soreness, I tell you that. You're gonna see actually a different way of training. There's gonna be muscles that you never thought you had. You're gonna feel them, they're gonna activate on you.
All right, we can't leave the King Center without talking about the other gym, the one where the Hoopers live.
My name is Charles Dupree. I've been a member of the King Center for the time it opened. There were great players coming through here, like Marquette. They had Marquette players. They had some of the Bucks. A lot of great pickup games.
Was there a trash talking or was it like friendly, kind of like, I don't know what friendly looks like there?
Of course, there's always trash talking. That's what makes the game so competitive.
Were you more of a trash talker or were you more of like a silent killer?
Pretty more like a silent killer. I just kind of let the game speak for itself.
More than a building, it's also more than its programming. The King Center, by proximity, is also a place for a lot of the city's unsheltered population, at least in the park. Ms. D says they used to open up the center for some of the guys to shower, but there were real safety concerns with some of the untreated mental health issues. She says she'll still open up the center at times, but only when there are no kids present. She wasn't always like this, she says. Certain events have changed her, softened her. Like one winter morning, she's coming into work, and she sees a man behind the building.
He had his little blanket and stuff. He was laying on the vent. And so I went over to him. I was like, you know, you really can't lay there. And he knew my name. So he was like, well, Ms. D, this is the safest place for me to be, because it's the warmest place. And I ended up sitting down, striking up a conversation with him. And during that conversation, I found out he had a college degree. And he was extremely intelligent. He just had the mental health issues. And even during the conversation, I could see the issues he had, but they did not supersede the intelligent conversation that I had with this man. And by the time I finished, I mean, I let him in the building and there was nobody else here. But by the time he left me that morning and stuff, I didn't even work the rest of the day. I was so emotional, and I'm trying not to get the way again, but I was so emotional, taken back, because we all have prejudgments of people. You know, we assume that because somebody is homeless, they're uneducated, or they don't want to do better, or they chose to be in that position that they're in.
A lot of people jumped to prejudgments a few months ago when 5 Columbus police shot and killed Samuel Sharp Jr. Ms. D knew Sam and his loyal dog, Isis. And she says he was nothing like he was portrayed.
He was a different kind of man because he was like a gentle warrior. He, too, you could see some of the issues that he was having, but he was always talking about the better man. He would not talk about what he was experiencing that day or that he lived in a tent. He never talked about any things. He always talked about the betterment of men. And I was just like, that is the last thing that would be on a person's mind that has a house and a shower and stuff. But he always talked about what we could do to better men.
The King Center, it is the heartbeat of the community. Anything that's needed, even if families come in here indigent, you know, there is a program here that will help them or refer them to someone that can help them immediately.
It's true. There are wraparound services for so many different people in situations here. But I also heard about how things have changed, how kids don't show up like they used to, how the park used to be, more sports teams, more staff, more kids playing outside. Symphony said it's not that the neighborhood changed, although it has, but it's the center.
And when you know this area, oh, the kids are here, they just don't feel the same agency and ownership of this place that maybe like my generation did.
What do you think has changed?
It is an all-around systems failure that we are experiencing across the city.
By systems failure, she means parents are working harder than ever to provide, and some people are just trying to survive. And funding from state and local budgets has also slowed. Do more with less is the motto we've heard.
The communities that have the less crime are the ones that have the most resources. And when we began to consider the dignity of Black folks in this city, then we won't have to fight to eliminate food deserts.
Or struggle to provide safe and affordable housing, or properly fund our schools and community centers.
There are always these conversations about Kia boys and violence and this uptick and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, we're not making any investments. There's an African proverb that says, young people will burn the village down in order to feel its warmth. Because we are not being intentional about creating spaces and opportunities and just wrapping our arms around the young people, the oppressed people, you get what you get.
My heart struggles because if we were not here or we stopped doing the things that we do, I'm not saying that people couldn't get it elsewhere, but it would be more of a struggle for them to get the things that they get from the King Center. I'm 67. I'm ready to not do anything, but I can't because I always think about Sam Sharp. I always think about that young man on my vent. I always think about that boy who died on my floor. I always think about the least man that we're supposed to be thinking of. And if I can't be assured that somebody's going to pick up that ball, then I'm going to keep doing it.
While the King Center isn't the place it once was, that does not mean it's not critical. And it sure doesn't mean that connections still don't happen here organically every day.
Shane! How are you? Oh, I ain't seen you in forever. You don't ever post on Facebook no more.
I'm always on Facebook.
I don't see you no
And you
more.
Must be my friend. You must delete.
I am your friend. Ain't nobody delete you.
As Symphony and I are walking out of the center, an old friend of hers walks in. He's here to shoot a round. Charles Dupree walks over. Shane and Charles know each other from the court. They both compliment each other's game. We all start talking about this place, how it used to feel walking in here, and why that version of the King Center is so important today.
We have to teach people how to be in spaces with each other.
Yeah.
And I think the pandemic only exacerbated like what was already brewing.
Yes.
And so I think once we can get kids in here and say, no, that's not how you engage. That's not how you have a conflict.
Right.
Go run these laps or go make some art, go do whatever. Mm-hmm. But that requires money and people who care and policy to support it.
And your name was?
I'm Symphony.
Symphony?
Symphony like the Symphony. Orchestra.
Yeah, Charles.
Yes, yes. Nice to meet you.
You too.
That piece was produced by Lake Effect's Jimmy Gutierrez. He spoke with Symphony Swan Zawadi, Dee McCollum, Ernie Haynes, Charles Dupree, and David Powell. You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.